This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's Thursday, the 21st of December. Welcome to The Informer. I'm Dylan Joel.
And I'm Dean Arcuri. This is our final episode of The Informer for 2017, so tonight we're doing things a little differently.
Instead of covering the day's big stories from an LGBTI perspective, tonight we are focusing on our year in review here at Joy 94.9.
We aren't playing our top stories of the year or recounting the interviews we've had. You can access those via our podcast page at joy.org.au/podcasts, but it has been a huge year for us here at Joy.
Over 320 volunteers have worked together to create over 6,552 hours of broadcasting, which has helped us to achieve our highest listenership ever, 377,000 listeners.
We've gotten a new look and a new direction, taken a stand for equality and stepped up what it means to be a voice for Australia's LGBTIQ communities.
So tonight we look back at Joy during 2017 and speak to the team members behind the scenes that keep Joy out loud and proud.
We still need.
Sometimes the parents of some of my friends wouldn't let me play with their kids outside of school because they knew my parents were lesbian.
You often still hear homophobic language when you're at the football. I hear it occasionally as well.
Less and less.
Yeah, that's right. The ship is steering. Yeah. I think that's a good thing, and that's what we're here to celebrate tonight.
The other thing I can't get over is how many articulate people we've managed to lure into interviews.
Absolutely, and doing a much better job than me right now as well, which is.
94.9, you're listening to the Midsummer Carnival live from Melbourne's Alexandra Gardens here on Joy with Anastasia and Warren.
Time for more marriages, more commitment, more love, more respect.
Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Joy started its 24th year in January, officially changing its community of interest to involve every part of our rainbow family. Joy CEO Tennille Moiselle joins us now to discuss the change in culture and direction for the station this year.
Joy upgraded its license.
It changed our community.
Change is as good as a holiday.
Yes, and permanent in this case.
And permanent. We added a few letters into our license, not only focusing on the L and the G, the lesbian and gay communities, but to the LGBT communities. Was that a difficult task to do?
Roses. Well, luckily I wasn't here when the work was done. So it did take about 3 months to actually do all of the paperwork required, because it wasn't just a matter of saying, hey, we're not going to be a gay and lesbian radio station anymore. We're going to be an LGBTI radio station. We actually have to change our community of interest with ACMA. So we actually have to have our license changed to say, okay, you are no longer targeting or representing this particular community of interest. This is the new community of interest. And what we find often is that we actually have to educate the regulating bodies as well along the way. So there are no other gay and lesbian or LGBTI radio stations. So we basically had to create that. And what it actually means is we actually have to submit all of our documentation like it was a new radio, a new community radio license. So you actually have to say, this is how we engage with people, this is how we treat our volunteers, and this is how we're going to connect with our LGBT or our community of interest, in our case LGBTI. So for us, it wasn't just a matter of saying that, you know, new acronym, let's use it. It was actually a conscious decision to make sure that we were more inclusive of our community. So we were gay and lesbian with an open door to say, hey, come and participate. Now we've basically given ourselves a mandate to represent broader.
And how has that been for you leading the organisation, having a more of a community to focus on?
I think there's a heap of challenges that sit within that. And, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about it, and, you know, we get communication all the time from people saying, hey, you're meant to be representing the LGBTI community. I don't feel like my voice is being represented. I can't hear myself or hear my stories. It is a constant challenge to make sure a couple of things. One, that people feel that the space is safe and that they feel that the space is welcoming of their voice. And the second part is making sure we've actually got genuine opportunities for lots of people, because if you think about it, we've got finite hours in the day that we're broadcasting. So we're changing a lot of things. So we're increasing the size of our teams. We want people to be more collaborative in the way that they produce radio. For us at Joy, the days of one person sitting in a studio on their own, paneling, hosting, doing everything, those days are not the future for us. It's obviously people who do that, we want them to hang around, but we want to increase the teams. So we want to give people from all parts of our diverse community the opportunity to come in and use different skills. So that might mean you've got a trans person being your podcaster and a lesbian being your panel operator, and always gay men talking, it feels like, but we're working on that.
And
so it's a constant challenge to make sure that people feel that the opportunities exist. They do, but they only get actualized when we make sure that people understand that it's here.
And a part of the update was a new look, a bit of a facelift.
That was the brand, yeah. So
the brand
we did the brand. It was actually a separate project. So it wasn't because we moved from gay and lesbian to LGBTI. That was a conscious decision to think about the fact that we'd had a very similar brand or a very similar look for 23 years or 23 and a half years to be exact. And the future was kind of looking at the fact that we wanted to be less binary. So the old logo was pink and blue and the male, gender, female, yeah, and the female symbol. So we wanted to move away from that because we had received feedback that those two things were barriers for some people becoming involved in Joy. So for us, it was about sort of saying we need to address that, obviously, in relation to our community of interest changing. But then also we wanted to have a brand mark, an image that actually looked to the future as well. So without closing the book on the past, because that's our legacy, that's where we've come from, but to kind of evolve it. And I think that we've done a pretty good job of keeping some of the characteristics of the old brand, but actually moving it a little bit forward as well. So, and not being quite didactic with a rainbow. We've got a broad palette of colour.
So I want to read Rodney's message. Joy means a lot to me and our family. We have been with Joy from the first little fold-up table set up at a boot scoot night at Melbourne Uni all those years ago. More importantly, over the years, Joy has meant hope and a voice for LGBTI people around the country. From those scared kids hiding in their rooms afraid because they are different, where they listen privately and feel not so alone, to our LGBTI elders who may be restricted in the ability to get out and about. Joy provides a way to connect the community. The support Joy has provided rainbow families over the years has been inspiring. Joy means so many things to so many people. Our family can't imagine life without it.
Our Radiothon for 2017 was our biggest and most successful yet, with over $300,000 raised. That's over 50% of Joy's revenue coming from Radiothon. And we continue our conversation with Joy CEO Tennille Moselle about keeping Joy out and proud on the airwaves during Radiothon, with Joy presenters sharing why we still need Joy.
Radiothon was really interesting because I started in 2016. Exactly 1 month before Radiothon was starting. So I came in, I was like, right, Radiothon starts in a month. We need a car to give away. We need all of these things. So going through that first Radiothon was like a baptism of fire, knowing that 20 to 25% of the annual revenue was raised in that time. Coming into 2017, it was about thinking about the change of community, the change, the new brand, all of those sorts of things, and wanting to take a moment to reflect on the value that we actually offer. So not just to the people that come in here, the 320 odd volunteers who come in here every week to create content on and for the LGBTI communities, but then also to kind of remind people, because I think we get a bit complacent in our community. We build these walls up really easily to say, oh, you know, we don't need things because we don't have access to them. And I wanted us to kind of reflect and say, well, Joy still has a place. And even now with marriage equality being achieved, which is really exciting, it seems weird to kind of say that, there are still so many things that we need to fight for and to agitate and advocate for. But there's also the fact that once we're past all of that and that equality is achieved, we still need to actually preserve and develop our culture. So we still need Joy for all of those things. We still need Joy for people to have somewhere to come, to turn their radio on and hear our stories. Because whilst, you know, a lot of people feel like, and I hate this word personally, the normalization of our being, whilst we see that, we see ourselves reflected a bit more in popular culture, we're never going to reflect that whole diversity. And this is the space that you can actually come in and represent that. So we're always going to need Joy. And to hear those stories was amazing.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
6,552 hours of unique broadcasts were aired on Joy in 2017, as well as 10 podcast-only programs, announcing this year that our podcast count reached 1 million downloads. We spoke to Joy's production manager, Jason Gipps, about how important Joy's podcast network is, giving a space for the voices of our communities to be shared around the world.
Look, we're excited by podcast download figures. Don't get us wrong. It's a great way to motivate ourselves, but it's more the content that's available for the rest of the world. I mean, personally, I really want to get behind podcasts and did try to really push it for about 7 years ago. And that's because I am fully aware of how many people around the globe in our community don't have access to content by LGBTI people for LGBTI people. So yes, there's a lot of content out there. Lots of media organizations do it very well. But how many of them are from an LGBTI perspective? They are getting better. There's some great representation there for our community in mainstream media these days, especially ABC and locals like that. But, you know, there was a period of time where you'd listen to things and you'd hear it, the lingo not quite right. They didn't refer to us in the right way. So I really think it's important that there is content out there globally from an LGBTI perspective.
This year we hit 1 million downloads on Joy's podcast. That's a huge achievement.
It is. It's a little more than that because that's since we started collecting data in early 2015. So that's kind of just over 2 years and it's growing rapidly. And it can't happen without a really solid team of people that love what they do, passionate about what they do. And I guess at the same time, are thanked for what they do. You keep people involved when they are thanked and appreciated. And I think sometimes, I don't want to toot my horn, but I do think I get told off a lot by my team for constantly coddling people and saying thank you. But I think it's really important because people give their time to what they do and we need to know that it's appreciated.
This year in the top 10 downloads of Joy's shows, we've seen a lot of shows jump up. There have been some mainstays like Chicks Talking Footy and Saturday Magazine. And even The Informer. But we've seen a lot of shows jumping up and really rising up into that top 10. Has that been a great feeling to see lots of the diverse programs finding a space?
Yeah, look, I must say at first I was a bit skeptical about us internally promoting who's in the top 10. I didn't want it to be this competitive thing that people feel let down if they don't get the stats that the top 10 do. Because our objective is to create that content for the community. And so there's different reasons why people are members at Joy. If their reason for being a member at Joy is to listen to that one show that rates, you know, on the lower scale every week, and that's why they support Joy, then that's important. But at the same time, knowing that shows like The Informer, Saturday Magazine, Chicks Talking Footy are getting such great download figures, especially our news and current affairs teams, it really shows me that look, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling because we know that news and current affairs are important to our community. Content and, you know, entertainment is important to our community from an LGBTI perspective.
Thank you for the great broadcast, Joy and SBS. Loving it all from the UK. Equality for all. That's from Scott. Watching with my husband of 12 years. Adam, I love you forever. Happy Mardi Gras. Craig from Tacoma. What a beautiful part of the world.
Wonderful.
And thank you. We just got that one. Loving the Melbourne Chargers 6. So proud of our boys making Melbourne proud tonight. Thanks for the amazing coverage and curing my Melbourne hashtag FOMO from Tim.
This was the first year for Joy's program director, Chris Tate, who dived headfirst into Joy managing outside broadcasts in his first weeks. A huge Mardi Gras program with three shows broadcast from SBS and a live broadcast from the SBS van with Joy's commentary of the Mardi Gras parade.
Chris joins us now to talk about this achievement with over a third of Joy's volunteers involved, as well as what his first year in the role was like.
I think what they call that is an initiation by fire. So my first week was literally we had the week and then the Sunday was Carnival, which then launched Midsummer. And to be honest, I'm not a Melbourne guy. I've never been much of a gay scene guy either. So I didn't really know what Carnival was or what Midsummer was. So it was a very interesting learning curve.
What's it been like doing outside broadcasts like the one during Carnival and also during Pride March and diving headfirst into all that's going on in Melbourne's LGBTIQ community?
Yeah, it was interesting. I think one of the things that I learnt pretty quickly was the place that Joy holds in a lot of the LGBTI community here in Melbourne, which is pretty highly regarded. People quite love Joy and they love being a part of Joy. They're very familiar with Joy. And I think being part of those outside broadcasts where you're interacting with punters is Yeah, it was. It definitely gave me an opportunity to see how well-regarded Joy was.
That wasn't just one of the outside broadcasts that you were a part of as well. We also headed over to Sydney for Mardi Gras, for their 39th Mardi Gras parade. And Joy had a huge part of that voice during the parade weekend, didn't it?
We really did. And it was one of those things that's sort of like, okay, carnival in midsummer's over. Welcome to the job. Now organize the Mardi Gras broadcast. It's like, cool. You know, I've just come from the Central Desert working in Indigenous media where an outside broadcast was literally us broadcasting from the sidelines of a football match on a dirt oval. So it was a little bit different to that going down to Sydney. We had 3 days of consecutive broadcasts. It was very themed. It was a very themed programming this year. So instead of just having regular programming and saying, oh, by the way, it's Mardi Gras, from Friday all the way through till Sunday evening, it was Mardi Gras themed broadcasts. We had outside broadcasts, and we had broadcasts coming from Sydney. We had an outside broadcast coming from the Flinders Hotel. And it was all kind of the cherry on the cake with the parade, the calling of the parade. One of the things about Mardi Gras this year is after Mardi Gras, our podcast downloads shot up, like they doubled the next month, or close to doubled the next month. And I think what that had to do with was this year we had a very concentrated effort. It was kind of moving away from that community radio feel that Joy has had in the past, where it's just kind of like a circus, a cast of thousands talking about, you know, whatever's happening in front of them. It was a concentrated crew. So it was Dean Arcuri, yourself, Michael Dolly Diamond Dalton, and Jason Gipps. We had Kirsty Wiebeck and Dylan Adler on the street team. So we had seasoned professionals driving the ship. And what that did is it meant that our retention was longer. So although lots of people have listened to Mardi Gras broadcasts in the past, they haven't remained listening to the whole broadcast. They kind of flick in and out, or they tune in for a little bit and they're like, yeah, whatever. This year, because we had a very concentrated effort and we had a very slick kind of professional sounding team, people stayed on for longer. And we had over 3 million people listen to that stream.
We're six footy obsessed girls who feel like we're riding a bit of a wave. We started broadcasting the beginning of last year, and in that year the AFL Pride game was announced, and of course the AFLW was announced, so we've been very privileged to be part of all of that. In fact, we're so footy obsessed, I had a baby this year and let myself out of hospital to go to an AFLW game. So
it was a huge year for the award-winning team from Chicks Talking Footy, who made a name for themselves within the broader AFL and AFLW communities because they know their stuff and they can communicate it in a way that is accessible and enjoyable, whether or not you are a footy fan. We spoke to Fiona Newton from the team about how the year has been kicking off with broadcasting live from the second AFL Pride match in Sydney.
The second time was actually a lot more challenging in a way because it was up in Sydney. We didn't know who was actually going to be at the game. It was very hard to organise guests, but once we were up there, it was just such a great opportunity to bring the Chicks Talking Footy show and Joy to the national stage and make a whole lot of new connections up there that we didn't previously have. We were also invited to the Saints function there that was right on Circular Quay, and you know, got to meet so many fantastic people and see much more about what's going on nationally in the football world in the Pride space. So it was just an amazing opportunity.
Chicks Talking Footy is always informing and entertaining, empowering women to be active participants in football, particularly during the inaugural AFL Women's League that kicked off earlier in 2017.
Well, yeah, that was actually a surprise for us. We didn't obviously know the Women's League was going to happen when we first went on air. And then it was just amazing that, well, hang on, we're an all-girls footy show. We're also, you know, mostly made up of gay women as well. So we just had a unique voice, I think, into the football world. And it was an amazing privilege to be part of the history of that unravelling and, yeah, be reporting on the first game ever in the AFLW was something I don't think our team will ever forget. We also won the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia Sports Broadcasting Award. A couple of us flew up to the Gold Coast to received that. Again, it was amazing to be acknowledged just for what our show's done. We have worked really hard to be, you know, it's actually an advantage. I said this in the speech, but it's an advantage to be a woman now and to be gay women that have, yeah, a unique perspective of the game and an important voice that's now being recognised in the football community. So to get that award was, you know, it was great to represent Joy in that way and to get that acknowledgement. I think we're really forging a new space. Yeah, and I think connecting perhaps our community in a way that it hasn't been connected before and giving a microphone to people that perhaps their stories haven't been heard before. And we do have some exciting plans in place. We're back on air on January the 17th and we're going to be reporting on the AFLW, and there secretly might be something happening in the Pride space in the AFLW, so we'll announce what that is early next year. We've got quite a few exciting little projects in the works that we'll announce on air.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
I'm not angry that the people who would harm me or wish me ill because of who I love get to have their say about me. I'm not angry that there's a divide in the country that I've called my home for the last 8 years. I'm just tired and sad. Sad that other kids are going to question whether they're normal like I question myself, but I got to do that without a no campaign. I'm tired of having conversations where people say to me, it's your job to convince me why voting yes is the right thing to do.
In the lead up to and after the postal survey, Joy fully supported the yes vote on and off the airwaves and created a space for our communities to express how they were feeling and processing through this difficult time. Joy CEO Tennille shares with us why it was important that Joy was more than just a voice for the communities, but a safe space for them as well.
For me, that journey started in September last year when we received a bomb threat here, and it was during the time that the plebiscite was being debated in Parliament. And I don't want to say often, but we do from time to time receive nasty emails or phone calls from people who don't like us. But we received a bomb threat and we actually had to evacuate in September of 2016. And it was a time that I sat down with a board and I just sort of said, you know, well, we can't sit on the fence any longer. We'd had this history of not wanting to come out in ardent support of a particular issue because we wanted to make sure that we weren't excluding anybody in our community. But the very fact that we exist, we're political. So we had this conversation, which was, you know what? If we're in, we're in. We actually have to get behind this. We'd never come out in support of marriage equality until September 2016, officially. And that, to me, kind of blew my mind a bit. So that whole yes stuff started in September 2016. It led through to the Radiothon theme, that we still need joy, and then into really focused and dedicated, committed channeling of our energy. And we were going to support our community, number one, so our people listening during that time. We wanted to inform them about what was happening. We wanted to be there to celebrate all of those bits and pieces. And we wanted to empower our content creators to go out there and tell those stories. And we had, like, the gamut in there. Do you know what I mean? I remember washing my cup out in the kitchen one day when one of our daytime just once no when one of our daytime presenters was talking to Erica Betts.
Yeah.
And I remember standing there freezing, just going, whoa, okay, and running and going, why are we talking to this person? So we had the gamut. We spoke to everybody, and I'm really proud of us to have the courage to do that, because we did want to represent all aspects of that. We didn't let anybody off lightly.
No.
But we definitely wanted to capture it. So
what's been your biggest achievement of the year?
I think it's probably a combination of Radiothon and the Yes stuff. I think knowing, you know, rebranding to Yes 94.9, having that content going out across the CRN, we've actually had a massive year. I mean, Mardi Gras this year was phenomenal. You know, breaking all the records with Radiothon was amazing. But more than anything, I think empowering our people to tell their stories. I think that, and having that focus brought back on the fact that we are political just by existing, that we have a right to tell the stories and we have an obligation to represent the communities that we speak for.
And 2018, what's on the horizon?
Even more. So, you look, 2018 is all about branching out into other distribution methods for the content that we create. I mean, we've hit 1 million downloads in podcasts this year. We want to really push that podcast space. and really just lifting even further and creating more opportunities, making sure that we can get rid of more barriers so that even more people can actually participate in the Joy content creation experience.
During the Yes campaign, Joy rebranded to Yes 94.9, with more than 1,000 hours of Yes content produced and broadcast across the community radio network. It was a great space to be a part of and to hear from the diverse voices in our communities, especially as we celebrated our 61.6% Yes result. Shaping that voice on our airwaves was Joy Program Director Chris Tate, who continues his reflection on Joy during 2017.
When I came into Joy, I was surprised how safe it was. For an LGBTI radio station, I was surprised how safe it was and how, forgive me for saying it, but how heteronormative it was. There was a lot of safety going on, and I think what that was is people were scared. It's this thing of just blending in. Like, let's just blend in. We'll be the only gay radio station in Australia, but we'll be really quiet about it. And I came in and I was like, you know what? Bugger that. We have license. This is the only LGBTI radio station in Australia. We have a license to not fit in. We have a license to be different. Let's celebrate that. Let's not try and just fit in with the crowd or be one of the cool kids. Let's go, you know what? We're here, we're queer, we're different, and own that. And I think Joy had done that very well in the past, but there was this kind of tide that was turning where it was turning into just another radio station on the dial. And so long as I'm here, I won't allow that to happen. And I'm really proud of the fact that we have owned that. We've owned our voice and the community has responded. This year, I'm going to go through a list of achievements. We have the highest ratings Joy's ever had, 396,000. We're edging towards 400,000 unique listeners per month. We had the highest radiothon ever, over $300,000. That's the biggest fundraiser Joy's ever produced. Our podcast downloads have doubled per month. We've just hit 1 million podcast downloads. So this has been a huge year for Joy, and it's been a year where we've like, you know what, we started as an activist support group and then we turned into this kind of vanilla radio station, and now we're turning back to being what we, going back to our roots. Like, this is what we're here for. We're here to support the community, and I'm really proud of being part of that, and the community is responding.
There was a meeting earlier in the year with Joy volunteers and staff members of whether to take a side on yes or no, or just not take a seat on the bench. Do you think that's been successful with the Yes Week and the Yes campaign and being supportive with that and backing the marriage equality movement?
I think so. And I think we didn't have a choice. Like, there were people at Joy saying, oh, we should be apolitical. We should be on the fence about this. If Australia's only queer radio station doesn't have license to support a yes vote, to unequivocally support a yes vote, then who the hell does? That is the question that I ask. So no, we did not play it safe during that campaign. We 100% put ourselves behind the yes vote. We did not support the plebiscite, and we did not give airtime to no voters or those very aggressive campaigns that came out. Like, no, why would we give airplay to that? They have enough airplay. They're sucking up enough air in the atmosphere. It's like people come to Joy for support. They come to Joy for refuge, and that is what we were going to give them. And we gave them that 100% from the day that bloody postal survey was announced all the way through till the day the announcement of the yes results came through. We supported the yes. We supported the community. We were there for them, and I'm really proud of that. And I think Joy and everyone at Joy should be very proud of that.
Out loud and proud.
Out loud and proud.
That's it for another episode of The Informer. We'll be back next year bringing you the day's big news from an LGBTI perspective 4 nights a week.
A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au/podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter.
As the executive producer of The Informer, I'd like to thank the entire team for putting not just tonight's show together, but all the episodes every single week here on Joy. My name is Dean Arcuri.
And I'm Dylan Joel. You've been listening to The Informer. See you in 2018.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.